Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to today's telephone conference of Allianz SE on the financial results of the third quarter 2013. For your information, this conference will be taped, and at this point I would like to hand over to Mr. Christian Gross. Good morning also from my side. Welcome to the presentation of our quarterly results of Allianz Group for the third quarter of 2013. In this quarter again, the results will be presented by our CFO, Dieter Wemmer, who will also answer your questions afterwards. Thank you very much, Mr. Gross. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. I'm glad to once again report about a highly successful quarter for Allianz SE. And before I enter into the figures, I will use the presentation that you've hopefully all found on our website, and I will start with the individual business highlights of the third quarter. In a large group, there are always many items to report about, and therefore this can always just be a glimpse of items that seemed especially important to us. In the third quarter, AGCS, which is our corporate customer business, offered a new product to protect against cyber crime and IT failure. This new product, Allianz Cyber Protect, was launched first of all in the German-speaking countries, and then this will be followed by other countries in the future. Our new product in life that we presented, which is called Perspektive here in Germany, it had a highly successful launch, and in September it already accounted for 13% of the new business of our tied agents network, and we've seen growth of this new product from week to week, basically. In Italy, we are now the largest direct insurer in Italy in front of Direct Line, and our newest baby, if you wish, for the global business is Allianz Worldwide Partners, which contains our international worldwide care business, Allianz Worldwide Care. And here we've seen positive, strong, profitable growth, and we already reached our annual goal after 9 months, and we're still growing. And our ambition in this area is to become the largest provider of these kind of care coverages around the world, and I think we're right on track with the result we've seen so far. Now, when it comes to alternative energy investments, here we've reached a threshold of 1.7 billion euros in investments, and we're still in development in this regard just as well. Then we've been honored as one of the leading sustainable companies in the insurance industry in the Dow Jones Sustainability Index, so as a company that also deals with green topics, if you wish. And the last point is the hybrid bond we issued this year, which enabled us to reduce our financing costs and also put our financing on a solid long-term basis. Now, after this short introduction, I would like to enter into the figures on page 4 of my presentation. In many areas, the figures have been driven strongly by foreign exchange shifts, foreign exchange currency changes that affect our business. Here we are talking especially about the Australian dollar, because it had a clear downward trend of the U.S. dollar, but also the Brazilian real and the British pound sterling had an effect on our figures. That's why I continued an unchanged result regarding total revenues of 25.1 billion. It's a strong result because 2.9% reduction were due to foreign exchange effects, and based on that, the 25.1 is a strong result. Now, P&C and Life and Health contributed very well to our business, and offset a slightly lower result in our asset management business, but I would like to underline that in asset management, above all, the high one-off performance fee of the last year didn't recur, so in the basic operating result, asset management has grown again, and I will go into more detail on this later on. Now, when it comes to the balance sheet, we're still going really strong, and our stable situation has really been confirmed once again in the quarter, and there's not much to say about these figures. The figures basically speak for themselves. And that's why I would now like to get into the first segment, property casualty, on page 6. And here I have to mention something about the growth figures. If you look at the growth figures at first glance, they seem somewhat disappointing with a minus of 6.5%. Then we always adjust them for acquisition and foreign exchange effects, and we still come up with a reduction of around 5% in internal growth. I've already mentioned the foreign exchange effects, the acquisitions. Just to remind you, yeah, we're talking about the last year's acquisition in France, which we've adjusted that for a smaller one in Belgium, and for the first time in the third quarter 2013, Yapı Kredi, our acquisition in Turkey, was included, consolidated for the first time. But now, what's the major difference? I mean, it says at the top here, underlying growth of 3% compared to these figures that you see in here. Well, in the United States, the crop insurance business, here we have two effects. First of all, that business was sold four or five years ago, but nevertheless, on Fireman's Fund papers, we have policies on behalf of the new buyer, if you wish. And in the third quarter now, in the third quarter of 2013, the issuance of the policies was taken over by our partner, which technically speaking means that this business is taken out of our top line, of our gross premium income, and no longer reflected in this. And in the meantime, in this business, by reinsurance, we had some amount into that, which was halved since the beginning of January, so that we have a double effect by the crop insurance in the United States, which explains the main difference in growth compared to the previous year. Other than that, we are relatively satisfied with our growth in Germany. Part of the premiums was transferred to another line in Allianz Worldwide Partners. This automotive business was transferred from Germany to Allianz Worldwide Partners, which leads to flat development in Germany. Italy is well on track, and if we compare our growth of 2% to the figures published by a later, larger competitor in Italy of yesterday, you can see how well we've kept up here on the difficult circumstances. And then Turkey, I mentioned that before, half of our growth is in Turkey is due to the first consolidation of Yapı, and the other half is our organic growth within the Turkish business of Allianz. Now, how did all this affect our results in property casualty? Well, our operating profit went up by 6.4%, and here the main drivers are the underwriting results, and you can also see this in our improved combined ratio of 94.8%, an excellent combined ratio in the quarter, which was coined by natural catastrophes. This quarter contains 460 million euros of net cat losses. That's 4.3 percentage points of our combined ratio. And what we're talking about here is the major hailstorm at the end of June in Germany, and then several additional storm events in other parts of Europe, which added up to this figure. The hail event in Germany, that was in the second quarter, so it happened just a few days before we came out with the figures of the second quarter, and we were talking about 200 million euros and thought we were on the safe side, but now this figure needed to be expanded to 330 million, and as we could all read afterwards, it was the largest hail event ever to happen in the German market. And in spite of these burdens, we have a very good combined ratio, 94.8. Then the runoff ratio of loss reserves contributed to this with 4.3 percentage points. Runoff has remained on the same level as in the previous year, which will astonish you if I say this, tell this. But we've received positive contributions from all countries, and there is no country with additional reserves having a negative effect, and that's the difference to the previous year. In the last year, we had to increase reserves at Fireman's Fund, and that was the main difference to the figure of this year. Now, looking at the next slide 8, you can see how the individual countries contributed to our result. Germany, the combined ratio at first glance doesn't look overly impressive, but you need to take into account that this contains the result of this hailstorm that I had mentioned, and the second quarter in Germany was affected by flood costs and other storm events, so for Germany for the next year, we have a goal of 95%, and we feel quite safe. Or if you ask us whether we feel safe, whether we can reach this goal, I would say yes, because looking at the first 9 months in Germany and adjusting these single events to a normal natural catastrophe year, Germany would be at 96.3% combined ratio for 9 months, so that's well on reaching the goal for the end of the year. Other than that, a figure that stands out is the Italian results, the combined ratio of 71%, which adds up or links up seamlessly to the very strong results in Italy from the last 6 or 7 quarters. And this also contains a positive reserve development, which had an additional effect. And I think we can still maintain our distance, the gap to our competitors in Italy. But you can also see that the good combined ratio is not just doesn't just stem from these countries. This is being supported broadly by many different markets. We have very positive figures also from Turkey, for example. Turkey is a market that always struggled when it came to combined ratios, and here we are now well on track, and we also lead the market by a clear margin in Turkey. On page 9, just a few remarks about our investment result in property casualty. Well, interest rates are declining, or you can see that our current yield, you can see that on the right-hand side. You can see that we reached a result of 81 basis points multiplied by 4. This would lead to 3.3% current yield, and the reinvestment yields, even though there's a lot of talk about raising interest rates with 2.4%, we're still below the previous figure, and we're living in a low interest rate phase, and the ECB yesterday reminded us all that this is not just a passing phase, but will last for some time, obviously. So the investment results, we had several one-off effects also from foreign exchange losses, because over the last few years we built up a portfolio also fixed interest rate securities from third countries, and here the foreign exchange rates, as I mentioned before, all had a negative development towards the euro. This has been then also reflected in our results and directly booked as a loss in the quarter. Now that brings me to our life and health segment on page 10. Continuously positive results in growth, 6.6% plus, again somewhat reduced by foreign exchange effects, otherwise we would have reached a result of 7.3%. The growth is mainly driven by Germany and Italy. In Italy, it's the success of our new unit-linked product that I had already reported on in the previous quarters. And in Germany, I think it's due to the broad acceptance of the product of Allianz Life with our customers. We've seen growth in our classical product, but also with our new product generation with modified guarantees. And in addition to this, we had some larger single premium contracts, which added to the 25% growth. In some of the markets, you're seeing negative growth figures. That is due to the fact that in our product design, we focus very much on strengthening the profitability of our products, and I will come back to the profitability of new business in a minute to give you more detail about this. Just to mention, the reduction in Asia Pacific stems above all from Korea. Here we took a classical product with instantaneous pensions from the market, which clearly reduced our sales volume. Now, the operating performance in life health, the figures for this are on page 11. 769 million of operating profit need to be compared to our outlook. We are talking about 2.8 billion euros as the target in life for this year. And that would mean a figure of 700 million per quarter, and with 769 million, we're therefore above our own average expectations. What stands out here is the clear reduction in investment margin. And as I had mentioned before, for the P&C business, these are one-off effects from trade losses, on the one hand negative hedging results from our variable annuity and fixed interest annuity business in the United States, but also foreign exchange losses on bonds, as I had just described for P&C. These are the main points, and then I would like to once again take a look at the profitability of our new business for the individual markets. We have a very positive growth of our new business margin. The new business margin basically puts into comparison a policy that will exist for 20 years. The losses and benefits from this discounted compared to the premium income over these 20 years in the example, and this is how the percentages are to be read. So for the group, for the home group life health business, we have a new business margin of 2.3%, and you can see that Germany, as in the past, is on a relatively high level. France with 1.3% still shows the smallest figures on this page. But compared to the second quarter where we were at zero, but basically we've seen a clear recovery compared to that, which is thanks to new mix in our new business. And in the United States, we've seen a clear increase of the new business margin. We have a new product generation there that was launched last year in the third or fourth quarter, and then also the recovery of American interest rates, which also contributed to the increased profitability here. So overall, if you look at the new business volume and multiply it by the margin, we would come up with the value of new business, 215 million euros, which is a solid and good figure, which gives reason for quite some optimism for the coming quarters. On page 13, you can see again how in our life and health business, how we come from our current yield to the profit margin for the shareholders in our business. The calculations show that there hasn't been that much movement between the years 2012 and 2013. The current yield for the quarter was at 1.0%, and as we have more capital, a higher amount of capital investment when it comes to volume, then compared to the liabilities that we have, then this, if you calculate this, the 1.0% turned into 1.2%, on which we need to pay then the guarantees and the profit sharing, and that then leaves a net margin for the shareholder. These are the 0.2%. And with these small figures, you need to look at the next figure digit. In the last year, the 0.2% were 0.22, whereas this year, we're talking about 0.17, so we've earned 5 base points less as a shareholder, but that was the driver was above all the trade results, so it's more a quarterly effect than and less an effect that will continue in the next quarters. In our life business, we always look at the market consistent embedded value to value our business, and that reflects the value of our portfolio. So the slightly increased long-tail interest rates, add to the fact that the value of these, including the runoff of the policies, was increased by 1 billion, which is a figure that is then also reflected in our overall figures. Which brings me to the third segment, that is being commented on in your media, basically on a daily business, that has been commented on for weeks now. How has our asset management developed, and how has PIMCO developed? Now, first of all, if you compare the third-party assets under management compared to the beginning of the year. Well, at the beginning of the year, we had 1,438 billion euros under management, and now at the end of the third quarter, we're talking about 1,404 billion, so minus 2.2%, which is, and across the 9 months, we still had 22 billion euros in inflows, and then we had foreign exchange changes, and as the dollar weakened compared to the euro, and a larger part of the PIMCO assets, but also the Allianz Global Investor assets, is held in dollars, this of course had a negative influence. If we just look at the third quarter, that's the small diagram on the right-hand side, you can see that in the third quarter we had net outflows of around 27 billion euros, and then the interest rates were slightly lower at the end of the third quarter than at the end of June, so this leads to a positive market impact plus 20 billion. And then we have 46 billion minus due to foreign exchange impacts. That was due to the fact that the dollar from changed from 1.30 euro to 1.35 euro, if I recall correctly. Now, how does that influence our fees and net provision or net commissions from our asset management business? This is what you can see on page 16. If you compare that to the previous year, and the dark green figure, the dark green part of the chart, we have 100 million euro over 100 million euros in plus in that regard, but we have a clear minus in these so-called performance fees, 243 million euros less than in 2012, and I would like to underline once again that last year we had a one-off effect. PIMCO had two or three private equity funds which were specifically committed to special instruments and papers, which at the end of the year or beginning of this year ended. And if you pay back a private equity fund to the investors, then you realize the performance fees, if there are any. And last year in the third quarter, this led to the 240 million euros in an additional one-off effect, which needs to be balanced over the course of this year by normal operating results. And if we look at this, then we can see this quite clearly in our diagram on the next page. So compared to 12 months ago, we had 74 million euros plus from volume, and we gained 126 million euros in margin because both Allianz Global Investors and PIMCO were able to increase their margins across the funds. Then we have the strong reductions from these one-off performance fees, which I've just described. And at the end of the diagram, you can then see the foreign exchange effects, dollar, euro. These are the minus 38 million. So compared to the previous year, the operating result of PIMCO and Allianz Global Investors together can be seen as relatively strong from my point of view. And the uncertainty which the Fed led to by their early statements about tapering haven't had any, or have just had a marginal effect on our operating results. But that also means that over the next few quarters, as long as this uncertainty pertains, when finally the Fed will start to stop purchasing government bonds or reduce that, as long as this uncertainty persists, the figures will probably more or less remain on the same level and only have slight up or downward movements. Then finally, our last segment, corporate and other, in which all the holding activities and other activities are reflected, such as the three small banks and all that. And here in the third quarter, we haven't seen that much change. We're well on track in this regard to come up within our communicated range for the end of the year. On the next slide, you will then get a certain an idea of how we come from the operating profit of 2.5 billion to a net income of 1.5 billion. Well, in addition to the operating profit, we have realized gains and losses, which are not part of the operating result. These are many smaller transactions, be it sales of shareholdings or other, or transfers or switches from fixed interest rates, securities, and that adds up to the 134 million. Then we had two larger write-downs in impairments from real estate in Italy on the one hand side, but also sale of a participation of a holding in our participation in France that just amounted to the 136 million in impairments. Then the cost for our external debt was slightly reduced. That's the only positive effect of decreasing interest rates. And our tax rate went to 33%. This is basically our standard level, which explains the 1.445 billion in net income at the end of the day. So to sum all that up, our total revenues have remained stable at 25.1 billion euros. We have another very strong quarter with an operating profit of 2.5 billion euros. Shareholders' net income was up 6.3% to 1.4 billion. And our balance sheet remains on an extremely strong level in the industry. Now, what does this mean for the 9 months? Well, with 7.7 billion operating profit and 4.7 million net income, we are on a very high level, clearly above the previous year's figures. And that brings me to the end of my presentation. And with this, I would like to end with an outlook on the end of the year. So far, we've only slightly raised our outlook. In the second quarter, we said we will end up at the upper level of the 9.7 billion, and now we're somewhat optimistic that we will be able to surpass these 9.7 billion, but only slightly, I would say. Why these cautious restrictions? Well, in the fourth quarter, we will have some one-off effects that we need to take into account, which might have a negative influence of 100 to 400 million euros. Amongst them, the fact that the quarter in October started with the largest storm, Christian, which affected Northern Europe from Ireland through Scandinavia to Northern Germany. So this will affect us in Germany and England, Ireland and Belgium probably. And then our product strategy in Korea will be reconsidered, which might have an influence on the acquired transaction costs. And then we have certain IT investments which were started as the outsourcing of our data centers, which has already been announced, which might lead to one of the impairments that we would need to establish in the fourth quarter. And that is why we changed our outlook, as I just told you. That brings me to the end of my remarks, and now I'm looking forward to your questions.
Thank you. If you want to ask a question, please press the star or asterisk on your phone. And please also by dialing digit 1 on your telephone. Please ensure that the mute function on your telephone is switched off to allow your signal to our mute function and to reach our equipment. We will take questions in the order received and will take as many time permits. If you find that your question has been answered, you may remove yourself from the queue by pressing star, asterisk, and 2. Again, please press number 1 to ask the question. Now, the first question comes from Michael Fleming from Börsenzeitung. Yes, hello, Mr. Wemmer, Mr. Groß. I have 3 questions. First of all, about the forecast and asset management, and when it comes to the German P&C business. In the forecast, I understand you write that it can be that the operating result in the fourth quarter is slightly reduced, not much, but slightly, secondly, to the asset management. In order to better assess the effect of outflows of funds, can you give me a rough figure What if the surplus of provisions, if assets under management millions would be kept, billions, 10 billion would get lost in assets under management, then in the P&C from 1996 to 1983, that's a lot. And what are the key triggers, and what is the normalized rate for net cap that you provided for the 96.3%? Thank you. Thank you very much, Mr. Fleming. That was a long list, and the forecast for the fourth quarter, depending on the individual items that we have analyzed and also the normal course of business, this might mean that the fourth quarter would be slightly below the fourth quarter of the previous year, which is a consequence of that. The outflow of funds and how much will they cost in the asset management, that is what you can see on page 16, where we have provided a round box and the margins are being shown in basis points, 45.7 basis points, 10 billion by 45 is 445 million gross. In the income coming from provisions. Okay, thank you. And in the P&C business, the key point that we identified for next year is the improvement of the cost quote, and where we are 1 percentage point above our target of next year. That means if the loss rate stays like that, then we've got a normalized net CAT ratio of 4%, which is slightly above of what we calculate for the group. And for the group, we've got a net CAT ratio of 3.3 to 3.4%. Thank you very much, Mr. Renner. Thank you very much. Now let's come to the next question from Stefan Weyer from DPA ASICS. Good morning, everyone. I have two questions, and further to the storm Christian, and you said, Mr. Werner, that this is going to have a burden on the figures, and can you also assess the market damage and also the burden for Allianz? Can you give me a rough figure about that? Because yesterday, the worldwide system said that based on the estimate, it is going to be one of the biggest damage in Europe, and some people were surprised of that. And do you plan to have further infrastructure investment and any other major steps in order to face the interest lift and to, you know, to further balance that interest movement? Further to the storm Christian, I'd expect that the industry on the whole will face 1 billion euros in all countries. We reckon with, currently I'd say roughly 100 million euros, which is probably a reasonable estimate. But since last quarter I was faced with the problem that events like that only happened a few days before the announcement of the results, these estimates have to be vague, of course, and because we're facing with a damage that takes a few weeks in order to calculate the loss. That's why please take this figure as a rule of thumb. And the infrastructure investment, yes, we will go on with that, which will not only be in alternative energies, but also other infrastructure projects. And we continue being very active to expand that. In the third quarter, the new consolidation transactions have been finalized. That was the gas network of the Czech Republic, where we kept a 50% share a few months ago. The transaction has now been finalized, but we keep on trying to highlight further investment. At the same time, during the past few months, our share ratio was expanded, and which also was linked with the increased unrealized gains, and that was nicely reflected in the third quarter. Thank you very much. Next question, please. The next question comes from Ulrike Dauer from Wall Street Journal. Good morning, everyone. I was just right because I couldn't understand whether the market damage, Christian, was above or around 1 billion. That was my first question anyway. Well, I can't really say, Ms. Dauer. Did you say roughly 1 billion or above 1 billion? I believe it's going to end at above the 1 billion market damage. And, you know, a lot of countries are affected. It goes into Baltic states like Sweden, Denmark, which is not part of our horizon anyway. But that's why the overall market loss will be slightly above that. But I also have another question. First of all, what do you do better than others? Because results are quite good as compared with others we've seen during the past few days. And I also would like to have a few more detailed questions about COVID and OTX. Are you exposed to that? Because some bonds of OTX are included in the PIMCO fund. That's why you might have calculated to what extent the exposure has to be impaired and to what extent you're affected on a PIMCO group level. But I believe this is still in the flow. These were basically my questions already. Good. OTX, I can give you the two answers right away. First of all, the insured funds of Allianz are not affected, and PIMCO does have individual investments there, but PIMCO principally does not disclose any information about individual investments, and we would like to keep on with that because actually there's nothing special to be disclosed or said. Well, on a group level, what do you expect any negative effects? Well, yeah, I said on group level, there's no funds of Allianz balance sheet which have been invested into OTX. That means, if at all, it will only come through on a PIMCO level. Yeah, if at all, these would be third or assets under management. What do we do better than others? Well, definitely, it starts with a highly committed and enthusiastic management team that always helps to have good results. And I believe, you know, during the crisis, we were starting at a very low, at a very early point to create a rigid balance sheet and a safe balance sheet. And that's why we were focusing, we were able to focus on advancing the operating business, because we were not tied up in reorganizations or restructuring the organization on the balance sheet because of financial problems. So we could focus on the operating business. And that's what we want to focus on in the last year and this year. And this is being reflected in the figures of last year and this year. And we want to go on that route. That's why we do have this announcement that we're going to have a few IT investments in the fourth quarter, which might place a burden on the fourth quarter. But it's all about ensuring the future business success for the company. Further to OGX, just for me to understand, so you do not expect any negative impact on whatever level, on a group level, from the solution that you're going to find, whatever it might look like? No. There is no OGX investments whatsoever in the Allianz balance sheet. Next question. Now let's have the next question from Catherine Jones from Reuters. Oh, good morning. I have three questions. The first question about the ECB from last night, or lunchtime yesterday, I'm sorry. Can you give us an assessment how Allianz assesses this interest cut and what the business consequences might be and what you're going to tell the ECB about that? My second question about asset management. I'd like to know, do you think that the area that the 3 billion of profit target will be made by this logistics area, and will you be accelerating that, or will the outflows of funds go on like you saw in Q3? What are the consequences for PIMCO? Will you restructure that? Will you focus more on shares? Will you go down with your fees? And thirdly, to the dividend, there was the reinsurers yesterday that who said that they're going to pay out much more money to the shareholders. Is that a topic that Allianz is also dealing with, either through paying a higher dividend or by probably by repurchase of shares? Thank you. All right, that is a bouquet of questions. Let's start with the ECB. Well, at that point of time, we definitely saw this as a surprise, this lowered interest, but Mr. Draghi is known for taking surprising steps, otherwise the ECB does not achieve any effect any longer. And the big question definitely is, what will be the effect of this step? What are the consequences? But in the southern European countries, we still have the problem that the financing of the real industry is not working smoothly through the banking sector, and that has to be revitalized so that the real economy is growing and ensures employment. And that is exactly what the ECB is trying to force through that step. Well, we can only wish her success, and because the growth is what we definitely need in Europe. And the low inflation on the risk of deflation, the high level of unemployment are definitely appalling figures we are faced with. That's why any step like that is welcome. But as an insurer, I need to say the interest proceeds of savers, if you save through your savings book or a life insurance, then of course these are being tapped as well. And that's why this is a pre-financing of the European growth through its future interest income and the provisions for pensions for all of us. And that's why this trade-off that the ECB is generating through that, we can only hope that it will work out in the end, because otherwise it would be detrimental. Let me come back to our own business. I think asset management business, if you look at the first 9 months, almost 2.5 billion in the first 9 months have been achieved. That's why I think we can be quite confident that the 3 billion can be reached, possibly. But further to equity and what are we doing with all this money that we earn? Well, I think we're quite stable and continuous in our statement that the dividend is calculated based on 40% of the net income, whatever the net income is going to be at the end of the year. And if the supervisor board and board of management resolve that, that's why the dividend is going to develop accordingly. Share buyback, we don't have any considerations about that. I believe we have enough plans of how we are able to invest the retained earnings, and because we want to continue to expand operatively. All right, thanks. May I ask another question about PIMCO, because you have not said that. Will there be any consequences? No. What consequences should there be with PIMCO? PIMCO is highly successful, even this year as well. And throughout the 9 months, we have 20 billion euros of new capital of inflows. And a lot of asset managers have to work long for that in order to collect 22 billion euros. And PIMCO can't grow 10% every quarter, and I think that's quite obvious after these many quarters of successful growth that will be absolutely acceptable. And we're quite confident and sure that PIMCO, even in this phase, which have been triggered by a national bank, and this back and forth. And so if there is another trend coming in, PIMCO will show another growth and will please everyone, of course. The next question, please. Oliver Süß from Bloomberg. Good morning. I just wanted to ask quickly about perspectives, and you said September, 13% of new business. In ERGO, the statement was 50% of their new product. Will you be able to see any tendency versus October? And will this go up considerably as regard to the new product? If I may, do you have any further questions, or should I answer? I have two more questions. All right. Just briefly. One question about the fourth quarter, 100 to 400 million of effects. Can you specify what will be the biggest burden or expense burden in the fourth quarter, IT or Cochlear, after the storm? Next week, it's going to come an important decision about Solvency II. How confident are you? Maybe you can say something about that. Thanks, Mr. Savemba. Let us start with the perspective. Well, I mentioned the perspective very clearly in the beginning. Well, we've got a product family that we created, and with modified guarantees, and that allows customers to take a share in attractive and the share markets, and also a broader capital investment, but still they contain guarantees, index select, alpha balance, and perspective. And these three together, in the new business volume, they are well above 30%, towards 40% in the new business. And that's why this might be comparable with the figure that you mentioned before. Perspectiva as an individual product, 13% in September and October, that is growing. That means for a product that was just launched just July and August, of course, was used for trainings, and it's also the holiday season in Germany anyway. That's why the sales success were not that big yet. But September and October, which are strong months in life business anyway, there's a strongly growing share. It's very pleasant to see. Seemingly, this is going to be one of the most successful product launches for our group. And you also have to consider that on the whole, we have a strongly grown new business, and there's a strong growth in relation to the previous year in the classic products. That is why if the relative share of this product is increasing, that actually we would see a double effect. And I don't know whether all competitors are able to give a similar reason. Your second question aimed at the one-off effect. Korea and the various IT investments will have this range of will be quite the bigger item between this range of 100 to 400 million euros. And if we knew precisely how things are going to develop with outsourcing the data centers, we're still in the finalizing negotiations. And in Korea, we're also reviewing our new business strategy, and that's why you have to wait and see. But that is going to be the major portion of that figure. Solvency II, the political compromise or the formulas and as to how the long-term guarantees have to be assessed, that seems to be feasible, but it might well be that during the discussions there will be some principal discussions, basic discussions, that might cast a shadow on Solvency II. And the question is how strongly Europe can intervene into individual governments in the times of crisis. And this principal discussion of where there should be the focus and the decision-taking power during times of crisis, will it be rather in Brussels or in the individual government, that currently casts a shadow on the Solvency II discussion. We have to see how the political scene finds an agreement which has less to do with figures and finances. But it doesn't sound that optimistic. You say, you know, from the industry, you hear like, okay, better put it on the road rather and, you know, have binding figures instead of discussing it over and over again. I fully share this opinion. I do hope that there will be a compromise coming across, because this project can't be continued in a semi-implemented state. So either you do it right or you fully stop. And because it has been running too many years now, and it has cost too many millions or even billions on a European scope. And I do hope that Europe will come to a conclusion now. I think if it will be postponed again, that would definitely mean a reputational loss for the EU in the financial sector. Thank you.
Next question, please. The next question is by Isabel Gomez of Dow Jones. Good morning. I have a question on the forecast, and you were only talking about the risks that might endanger the forecast for the end of the year. Sorry, Ms. Gomez, I can hardly understand you. Could you please repeat the question? Do you understand me better now? Yeah, now it's better, yeah. Okay, so the question once again was dealing with the forecast here. Forecast for the end of the year, I've only heard that you mentioned several risks that could endanger the forecast. And what are the growth levers, and how do you want to reach the goal of 9.7 billion? Well, currently we're at 7.7 million, and we are quite optimistic that we can come up above the 9.7 billion. That is, we've just raised our outlook with this, but with our points that we mentioned for the fourth quarter that we're looking at in more detail, we wanted to underline by this that you cannot just take the 7.7 billion and divide them by 3 and then add the figure again for the fourth quarter. That would be too optimistic from our point of view. And I believe that in life, health, and PNC, we are well on track, and also in our asset management business. So when it comes to the basic development, I don't think there will be that much change compared to the previous quarter. And I think if you look at the last 6 quarters, then on a quarterly basis, we've showed a good performance, and I don't think that the world will collapse over the next 30 days, you know, and especially not when it comes to the Allianz world. Okay, let's hope for that. Did this answer your question? Yeah. Next question, please. Next question by Kirsten Leitl of Handelsblatt. Please go ahead. Good morning, gentlemen. Just some short follow-up questions. For life health, you mentioned larger single premium business, so these might be corporate old age provision contracts, I assume, and then about the share ratio, you said you had extended that, so where is it now, at which level? Maybe you could explain this a little bit. And then the point that you said you had good ideas how to spend your money in the future. You mentioned investments already, but maybe you could give us a little bit more detail on this. course, if you have larger one-off, if you're talking about larger one-off effects, then we're talking about provisional corporate old age provisions, especially in Germany. Allianz has a major position in corporate old age systems and corporate pension schemes, and especially in times when also our corporate customers are interested in investing into a strong balance sheet and a high degree of security, the product is in high demand. And when it comes to our share ratio, we had already mentioned that in June, what we wanted to build up, and over the last month, we had more than 2.5 billion euros that were invested in addition to this. And let me just check this, including market shifts, we should now be at around 5% on the group level. And that is, in part, these positions are also hedged towards against downwards tendencies. So if the markets were to turn around significantly, then our losses should be restricted through these hedgings. If I might ask another follow-up question, yeah, could you give us the share of corporate pensions in the life health business, and then about the equity ratio? You won't tell us how you will continue to go, but the region that you're, or in which regions you're investing. Well, we're investing on a broad basis across the globe, and which security specifically and in detail, I think that is not something we would want to publish. And then the mix between private and corporate customers, that is always the question, how you measure new business in premium income. The larger contracts, of course, are more single business, whereas in the private customer area, we have more ongoing business. And out of the 25% growth, that is something I can tell you, the 25% growth compared to the previous year, here the individual contracts make up a quarter, maybe, and three quarters are the single business, 25%, and three quarters are private customers. And the ongoing business is probably going to be 40-60 between corporate and private business. It's always difficult to really differentiate between those areas. Okay, then one question is still open about the ideas how to spend your money in the coming months. So you had mentioned the IT restructuring, but maybe you could look at, give us an outlook on the next year. Well, we have a stable formula or wording that we're always talking about. Out of 100% net income, 40% are reserved for a dividend. 20% will go into organic growth. 20% for smaller and medium acquisitions. And 20% for a stronger acceptance of risks in our investment portfolio. That is the formula we set up at the beginning of the year, and that we will continue to stick to for the foreseeable future. Okay, that brings us to the next question, please. Thank you. Next question is by Heike Jaberg of Tagesspiegel Berlin. Hello. So, Mr. Wemmer, I have three questions. One links up to what you said before, 40% of net income. And for the shareholders, you're making forecasts for the operating result. Would you also try to give us a forecast for the net income, will be probably higher than in the previous year. That's my first question. Then the second question, the ECB interest rate decision will, of course, have an effect on the discussions about the valuation reserves in Germany. And I'd be interested in your valuation reserves, your current ones, and also compared to the previous year. And then the third question refers to Allianz as the main sponsor of the football club, the soccer club FC Bayern Munich, and how you see the whether Allianz wants to get Mr. Hoeneß out of the supervisory board there. Well, the results for the first month in net income, we had 4.7 billion last year. The annual result for the 12 months was 5.2 billion. So we should make we're quite optimistic that we can surpass the annual results, but we only have an official outlook on the operating result, and therefore I don't want to add another figure to this official outlook. But I think you can all let your fantasy run wild what could be possible in this regard. When it comes to the valuation reserves, well, based on the slightly increased interest rates, our profits in the fixed interest rate securities have slightly decreased, and that is a significant reduction of the whole year. So I could say that our valuation reserves have gone down around 10 billion across the group, that is, whereas the valuation reserve topic, the discussion, is a purely German topic that doesn't exist in other countries. And so from the point of view of the insurance industry, when the German insurance laws were changed and customers who left the company were given participation in the valuation reserves, everyone looked at the unrealized gains in equities and real estate. No one looked at fixed interest rate securities, because you don't purchase fixed interest rate securities to create valuation reserves. That is an effect that came up through the extreme interest rate situation in Europe, and especially in Germany, with those historically low interest rates. Through these historically low interest rates, the value of a German Pfandbrief or a mortgage bond or any other instrument with a higher interest rate coupon increases across its initial value if interest rates are at 1 or 2%. And that, from our point of view, is not a valuation reserve, because we need these ongoing interest rate coupons to pay the guarantees. The fact that it was considered to take that into the valuation reserves and pay out to customers leaving early was, from our point of view, a design mistake, because no one at the time thought that interest rates could be that low and that we could have volatilities of that kind. Now, this might be prolonged through the ECB decision, this effect, and then we have to see how we can deal with this, because the life insurance sector needs ongoing interest rate income from its old investments to pay the guarantees. How high are your valuation reserves? The valuation reserves for the group as a whole are at 30 billion, out of which probably around one-third should be in Germany. Okay, and the legal case, Mr. Hoeneß. Well, Mr. Hoeneß has approached us and asked or told us that he would leave the supervisor board of the Allianz, of our Allianz company. That is something we need to respect, but we would like to underline that Mr. Hoon is in the supervisory board of our Aliyah's company, had a highly committed work and did a lot, had great efforts there for us, and we would like to thank him for his work. And does this affect your position as a sponsor of FC Bahai and the fact that the court case against Mr. Hunes will be started? Well, we've had a long partnership with Bayern Munich Football Club and not with an individual person, and we are not the main sponsor. There are certainly other companies who have a much a higher degree of sponsoring of FC Bayern than us. Thank you very much. We will now come to the next question by Herbert Fromme of Süddeutsche Zeitung. Good morning. I would like to know, how much the Allianz has realized when it comes to valuation reserves on fixed interest rate papers. You've turned some of these virtual profits, as your segment likes to call it, into real profits. Could you tell us about this? Then the second question is, the Allianz Bank, this investment had an effect in the third quarter. Then the third question, the strength that you show in Germany, is that your strength and also in other markets? Is this your strength or is it the weakness of others? So, would it be an illusion to believe that you're that as good? Are you just relatively good compared to others due to your capital strength as a safe haven, if you wish? And could it happen that the financial crisis, which is still going on, could this also lead to issues for other insurers where you then need to support them as you've done over a long history? And then the last question linking up to this, the crisis in Italy, France, Spain, and so on, is this over or will it continue? Okay, thank you very much, Mr. Fromme. A long list of questions. Let's see. Let's start with the realized gains from fixed interest rate securities. Yes, this year, as in the previous year, in the first 9 months, we realized gains on fixed interest rates securities in both as segments, and that is a technical element you almost have to do. That's due to the fact that the interest rate curve is quite steep. If you have a bond which has only 12 or 18 months of maturity left in the current market situation, it only gets you the market value of an interest rate income of 0.25% or 0.5%. But as it has a higher coupon, you can still get a certain profit from the price, and therefore it's useful to realize short tail instruments to realize some gains and then purchase other bonds. And we have a relatively systematic approach to this, which in view of the interest rate curve seems reasonable, but it does not weaken our future interest rate income. Now, the runoff of Allianz, the effect of Allianz Bank, the Allianz Bank disinvestment was around 3 or 4 million, I think, in the third quarter, so not a significant amount. And then the strength, the relative strength, that's an interesting question. I mean, you could ask this question for all the industries. How do the customers decide on the products that they want to purchase, based on the absolute strength? Or so do you purchase your car based on the absolute strength of a manufacturer, or do you take two cars and compare them to each other? I mean, it's the same question in all product categories, and I wouldn't know why this should be different for us in the insurance industry. Well, the question is rather how sustainable your position is, you know, and once the crisis alleviates, whether your position will be maintained. Well, as over the last few years we measures customer satisfaction to a high degree, I believe the increase in customer satisfaction is due to the wish, or leads to the wish to continue a long-term relationship, and not just because others are weak at this point. And I'd like to mention that in PNC, weakness in the balance sheet does not have hardly have any effect on the decisions of customers. That's more in the long-term life health business with guarantees, and here we have a true strength, not just in quality and size of our investment portfolio, our investment process is a strength. The low cost or expense ratio of Allianz Life in Stuttgart is one strength, and also the high product variety, the large portfolio we offer is another strength. So I don't think it's just a short-term development. And then the last point, the euro crisis. Well, Standard & Poor's with their downgrading of France, just as well as ECB's decision yesterday, clearly pointed out that the structural and changes and needs for reform in the individual countries need to be sped up or reactivated again, and And then I would like to interpret both these decisions as a call for action to the countries which haven't implemented enough of reform to finally do so. And you, with your Italy commitment, do you still feel at risk, or do you feel to be on the safe side? Well, from risk point of view, we've defined our de-risking, and I believe that even though this cost us quite some money in our current yield income, I believe it was a decision we needed to take, because now we are in positions in which a reoccurrence of the crisis could be well managed by us. Okay, and then the question whether you could come into the situation where you need to take over any weak competitors or so. Well, okay, in Germany there is the protector rule, and should a case like this occur, then the German insurance industry will act according to these rules, but I don't think that we need to take any or specific position in that. Or were you asking more on a global basis? I'm not just referring to Germany. Yeah, I was considering more a global view. Okay, we're still interested in consolidating our business in PNC and in life health. We have enough products available and enough elements in order to manage all the major markets and the distribution channels. Okay, but you would also take over any crisis-ridden competitors if they had a healthy core. Well, individual acquisitions always need to be considered in the individual case, and I don't think that I can give you any general criteria on this. In an acquisition, it's always about being able to prove to the shareholder that you've well invested the money and that you can gain long-term profits from that investment. And whether the company was in a crisis-ridden or especially successful, that will play a role in the individual analysis, but not in general. Okay, thank you. Thank you. We'll now come to the next question by Ulrike Bauer of Wall Street Journal. Just a small follow-up. The equity ratio or share ratio that you had in the last quarter compared to the 5%. Well, I think we've grown by half a percentage point, but I currently don't have the figure from the top of my mind, it's close to half a percentage point. So you had 4.5 before. Well, I rounded up to the 5. We're slightly above the 5, and we were slightly below 5 in the second quarter. Okay, thank you. Thank you. There are currently no additional questions. Okay, thank you very much. Then I wish you all a great day and a good weekend. The same from my point of view. We will have a press talk on the 14th of November next week in Frankfurt. And if you would like to join us there, please come over there and enjoy the rest of the day. Thank you very much for your participation. Ladies and gentlemen, this ends today's conference. We thank you for your participation and wish you all a great day. Thank you.